Listen up, Sydney. There's a new kid in town. Mick Molloy has come to play with the big boys. And there's no bigger boy than the King of the West, the Wild Panther, MG. So buckle up. This is going to be one hell of a ride. Mick and MG in the morning. What could go wrong?
Couple of big ones floating around today. Massive fail at the nude swim. 1,000 people less than expected. If you were there, give us a call. 1-3-3-5-3. We'd love to talk to you. In the meantime, though, this is the bombshell. And this, I don't know how you deal with this. I've never heard of it before. But Australia's oldest pub brewery, the Lord Nelson, down there on the rocks, has just unveiled her radical new plan to raise the age of entry to 35. Why? Oh, they don't like the kids. They don't like the hipsters. And they're sick of people doing shoeies with their signature beer brands, including their famous three sheets. The publican or manager is on the line now, Blair Hayden. Blair, this is a massive step you've taken. Why do you feel the need to take this?
Well, first, I'd just like to say thanks. It's a very important subject, beer, as you know.
Yes, he does.
Absolutely.
For some time. We're not actually barring people from coming to the pub, but what we're trying to say is that it's for mature palates. So for those, instead of having all these beers that taste of nothing, it's for those that have the palate of maturity. Wow. And it's the red button theory, of course. If you can't do something, then of course you want to try it, don't you?
So let me say this. So kids are allowed to come to your pub, but if they want to order your beer, they have to show ID to prove they're over 35.
Well, this is a tongue-in-cheek, as you're well aware, and it's just to raise the awareness of that we want to get back a bit more purity. I mean, we make 100% natural ales made with great malt and hops.
All right, whatever. It's not an ad for your beer. Come on.
Hey, Blair, I think you're onto something. I wouldn't mind going to a pub which has 35 and overs for a day or so a week just to get away from the kids for a day.
It'd save us a lot of time and effort in the ladies' department, wouldn't it?
Well, it'd save you a lot of money as well, probably.
Yes. You should put a sign up out the front of your pub, no shirt, no shoes, no pubes, no service. What about that?
It's along the lines of where we're heading, I suppose. Anything's on the agenda, but I mean, for historical purposes, we've got to be a little bit cautious.
Blair, it sounds like you might be there for early openers, or maybe you've gone through all night. Is that fair to say?
Well, it would be great if that was the truth, but no, we don't do that behaviour.
Over 35.
There's got to be a rest day.
Yeah, of
sometimes
course.
For the football and the other great things.
All right. When you say a ban on over 35s, can you make sure that you're referring to the price of your beer? Because I've had some very expensive schooners in this town since my arrival. How much is your three sheets?
We don't sell schooners, by the way. We only sell pints and half pints.
You sure you run a pub?
That's the way life is. If you're going to enjoy the beer, you've got to enjoy it.
And do we bring our own shoe for our shoey?
Definitely, we won't pour any beer into a shoe, and if you wish to do so, you'll certainly be drinking outside.
Oi! Is that a threat?
Imagine he's just barred you. He's banned under 35s, and he's just barred you. can anyone get into this pub at all?
Isn't it a great ploy? I mean, there's got to be some sort of fun in the world today, and you've got to enjoy yourselves. That's what we say.
Well, you do.
Lord Nelson, now, good pub.
Now, the Lord Nelson, once again, claiming to be the oldest pub in Australia. Every pub in the rocks claims to be the oldest pub in Australia, Blair. What evidence do you have?
Well, we've got a lot of written evidence that we're the oldest continually licensed hotel in Sydney. That didn't make us the oldest one, but we've never moved premises since the day it opened. And that's a pretty mean feat in this colony anyway.
I thought Fortune of War was up there as well. Maybe is Fortune of War an old one as well?
Yes, but it moved license.
All right, settle down, Blair.
He's gone. I just want a beer. Let me hear your pass.
He's gone bonkers. Calm down. Over 35s. I'll tell you what you won't do. You won't have women showing their ID to prove they're over 35. So you sneaked yourself in that department. Good on you, Blair. You're a good sport. And the Three Sheets Pale Ale is a beauty. Thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you, gentlemen. All the best.
See you, Blair.
Wonderful.
I reckon, is he gone?
Yeah, he's gone.
We need to breath test him.
I think he may have had it.
A couple of little three sheets of ale, baby.
Time for a bit of this.
Solving the world's problems.
Yeah, but first world problems.
Time for some first world problems. There's a few floating around. I've got one. Can I just let you know? This is just annoys me so much. I'm just got to get it off my chest. I want everyone to know about it. Paper straws.
Oh.
Paper straws ruin my day. Paper straws do not work. Paper straws are soggy rubbish. Yeah. They are virtually paper mache that stops you doing whatever you're trying to do, i.e. drink a friggin' smoothie. Okay, who cares? Who cares about a turtle? You know what I mean? Oh, we need plastic straws or the turtles will die. Good.
No.
What about my smoothie? Wait, I tried to drink a smoothie yesterday and I nearly passed out. I was sucking that hard and then had to put it down and I was puffing. Wasn't I, MG?
Yeah,
I was puffing.
You were.
I had my hands on my hips. I was bent over. They go, what are you trying to do? I go, I'm trying to drink a smoothie. I'm trying to drink a smoothie with it. With a paper straw. Somebody come up with a better idea than this. Who cares? Look, that's, turtles are in plague proportion anyway. I mean, they.
Yep.
You want to see a turtle, go to the Galapagos Islands. Otherwise, leave me to.
Galapagos Islands.
Yeah, you know the old deal. But, I mean, how much do I have to suffer for a few stupid turtles?
Oh.
It's not right. So there it is.
It's a first world problem.
Bring back the plastic. Oh. Bring back plastic. And fossil fuels too.
Oh, jeez.
Now, anyone here? Tash, you've got first world problem.
I have. What fires me up is people leaving dog poo on the footpath, but what fires me up even more is they put it in a bag and then don't put it in the bin. They just leave it in the bag on the footpath. Yeah.
Oh, that's disgusting.
Well, what animal's doing that?
And I'm sorry, Tash.
Is that you? You do it?
Yeah, I was at your house yesterday. Sorry.
Look, I do it with my own poo. I just go, oops, I need to back one out. Who's got a bag? And then I just leave it.
So you're the poo jogger, are you?
No, I am not the poo jogger.
He doesn't jog.
Oh, no, I jog. I'm the poo power walker. That's the...
Yeah. Poo stroller.
I agree. Now, here's my first world problem on that one. I've told you this. Stop putting it in my bin.
Yeah.
Are you a dog walker? You know it's your dog. Don't bag it up and then just throw it in my bin because that bin goes inside, you dick. Cat, have you got one?
I've got two. My shampoo runs out before my conditioner. And it drives me wild.
See, that's not nice.
I've got a solution.
Why are you looking at me when you say that?
You get different size bottles. So I buy a bigger shampoo and a smaller conditioner.
Oh,
too much trouble. Too much trouble.
Yeah.
Way too much trouble. Cat's right. So now you've been left with an inch of conditioner.
Yeah, even more sometimes. The other one, my charger cord isn't long enough. So when I want to scroll Instagram in bed... I crook my neck and have to stick my hands in. Yeah.
That's a good one.
Instagram.
Oh. That's a good one. Just going back to the shampoo conditioner. You might want to have put some on this morning.
It is greasy. Yeah. It is greasy hair. It's up in a top knot for a reason.
Exactly. You tied it back. Yep, for real tight.
MG, you got one for us?
I've got a couple as well. This happened to me last night, kicking back with a Tim Tam and a cup of coffee and dipping my Tim Tam in the coffee, I lost half of it because of the.
I'm thinking,
that's a waste.
What's the world going to do? Tim Tam down. Tim Tam down. We've lost half a Tim Tam. Good people, where's that? Arnott's? And it's do a better job. We're talking about it. Owen, one of the team members here, has got a first world problem. What's yours, buddy?
So when you're at the pub and I've paid, what, my $14 for a pint, and you got one sip left, and the bar staff come over and try and take your pint away.
No. Yeah. Leave it alone.
Yeah.
Don't touch my drink.
I'm not done, you jerk. I mean, that is absolutely a top of the list. That is a first world problem. They're just take it. And they have no right because you haven't finished. Well done. And you're right. They're about 14, 15 bucks a pop. I'm going to chain mine to my wrist like a little, like businessmen who've got a briefcase and they chain it to their wrist so no one can steal it. You know, like they used to have those pens in post office?
Yes.
You should have yours on a chain so they just can't head off with it. All right, Renee's on the line. Renee, you've got a first world problem for us.
Yes, when you have an English muffin and you pull it apart and one's really, really thin and one's really thick, the other side's really thick.
Yes.
Oh, unbelievable. So you get the muffin and you're trying to work it so it splits down the middle.
Yep.
Then you've got to put it in your toaster. Yep. And how do you know when both is ready? Well, one's ready, the other one's not.
Correct.
What are you supposed to do with that? I mean, in the world we live in, how is this allowed to go on? English muffins. Take a good long hard look at yourself, you jerks. We'll take Michael. Michael, what's your pet hate, mate? What's your first world problem?
I find it really hard to, when I'm in a crowded area, to have a pun on my phone. The internet drops out and you just can't get on in time.
The phone freezes. And all you're trying to do is have a harmless punt.
That's right. And worse is that horse wins that you're supposed to get on. That's the worst bit about it all. You bastard.
All you're trying
to
do.
What about on that? I've got a little, like.
What, you got another one?
When you're at your home and you're doing stuff like that, you're having your punt and you've got mates over and they say, oh, mate, can you give me your Wi-Fi? What's your Wi-Fi? I said, just don't worry about my Wi-Fi. Just worry about your phone. Go 5G or 4G.
Whatever. Oh, I do that.
Yeah, everyone asks for my Wi-Fi. Why? Yeah. Just get your own Wi-Fi. They take mine.
So hang on, your mates come round and ask you for Wi-Fi and you say no.
No, I don't say no, but it's kind of a first. I deep down, I want to say no. I feel like saying, get your own freaking Wi-Fi.
All right, let's go to Tony. Tony, first world problem, mate. What is it?
Oh, mate, it's definitely paper plates, mate, and wooden spoons. Go to the barbecue, your wife says, yeah, can you get the meal as well? So you up at the barbie. Mate, put your piece of steak on it. And, mate, what happens? You start walking off and you drop your freaking $20 steak on the ground.
Exactly.
That's right.
Yeah.
Wooden spoons, mate. Oh. McDonald's. Oh, I shouldn't have said who they are, but wooden spoons just don't fit right in my mouth, as in the taste of the wooden spoon. You've got to cut it like three times before you can get over it. My biggest pet hate is plastic cups at pubs, mate. Like, let's have a nice spoon.
Oh, my God. Oh, yep, my God.
You can't have it anymore.
No. You can't do it. Cut it out. There you go. We've had a pretty good list of our first world problems. We'll keep doing this because, as I said, it's good to bitch and moan about nothing that important. Alan's on the line. You got a first world problem, buddy.
Yeah, top of the morning to you guys and girls. When you go to pay with your card, with the contactless, and you never know where to put it, and you feel like a spare tool because they keep telling you you're putting it in the wrong place, you know?
Exactly right. So you don't know whether to tap it on the face or tap it on the top, or sometimes you're tapping and they haven't put the price through yet. It's just a shambles.
That's a good one, Alan. That's a beauty.
Yeah,
brother.
No, let's all go back to cash. Flip them a lobster
and go. Happy weekend as well.
It is. Mm. Well, we'll get involved. I feel a green beer coming on. Well done, Alan.
Yeah.
Our next guest, who announced his arrival with a flurry of uppercuts at the expense of Tony Harrison over the weekend. Let's take a listen.
It's stopped and it's real. It is all real. The doubters have been destroyed. This is truly
Any doubters have been silenced with an emphatic victory over Tony Harrison in champagne style. Our next guest joins us now. It's a champion in waiting, Tim Zhu. How are you, buddy?
Yeah.
Thanks for having me, boys.
Hey, congratulations. I think it was best said in those final moments. If there was any doubt, and for most Australians, there was none. But anyone overseas watching, I think you now have their full attention. Were you happy with the way it all unfolded?
Yeah, the way it ended, like a victory like that, just to put that full stop into it all. It was a good feeling.
Timmy, there was an obvious look of intent in your eyes in this fight. There was something different about you that just looked like you were menacing. You're sick of these Americans not knowing your name, and you said that after the fight. You're sick of them taking the piss out of you. Well, them uppercuts from hell that you put on Harrison's chin. Hello, America. Wakey, wakey. Hand off, snakey.
Yeah, exactly. There's been a bit of disrespect on that term, so, you know, I just wanted to... Yeah, just put respect on the name, because I've worked hard to get there, and it was a good feeling to get that.
I love watching you fight. I was lucky enough to see your dad fight on a number of occasions, and you like him in that you never take a backward step, and there's never anywhere to hide in that ring. It is relentless pressure. It's like a shark attack. Is that the way you were taught to fight from an early age? Have you always done that?
To a certain extent. That's the type of boxing school that we grew up in. More like pressure, not always aggression, but pressure, being always in the face. I think that's my type of fight. I don't like to take a backward step. I enjoy the offense.
Yeah, looking forward. Sorry, you go.
This was for the interim, obviously. Now that's for the undisputed against Charlo. What's the time frame, Timmy? Do we know? Is there anything being murmured about a possible fight against Charlo and where it might take place?
Yeah, I think we're leaning towards July. It all really depends on him and his hand, because he's the one that broke his hand. So once he recovers from that and he's able to get super to get fight fit, and I think we can start talking.
I think you'll have a hard time pinning him down. I think he would have seen that fight, and he won't be in any hurry to do it. He's been making fun of you and your name to the point where you did respond immediately after the fight with the following.
I've got one sentence. What's my mother name?
Now it's good to see you come out of your shell a bit there. Good to see it. Are you looking forward to America? And is this, as MG said, when can we lock this down?
Oh, look, it really depends on him. I think sometime July, but I am looking forward to America. You know, it's a funny country, because you conquer America and you've conquered the world. It's a weird little country, you know. Even in Hollywood, in sports, it's just that one country where all it takes is that country to conquer, and you're taking over the world. So,
yeah. Well, just watch out. There has been the odd dodgy decision from people traveling to that country. You'll have to stop it, is what I'm going to say. You'll have to put it completely to bed. We love watching you fight. You're a great Australian, and you represent us so well in the ring. And we've got a champion on our hands, boys. I want to thank you for your time today. And on behalf of a grateful nation, thank you for what you do.
I appreciate that. And thank you to all of Australia.
Yep.
Yeah. No, we love you. We love you, brother. Go well, my man.
On your tip. Triple M, Rock Sport Comedy is the motto, and rock is a big part of that. And that's why this story is so important. I can't believe it. It's like Back to the Future, but sales of vinyl albums have overtaken CDs for the first time since the late 80s, and I, for one, am bloody happy about that.
How good.
Yeah, it is. For the first time since 1987, unit sales of vinyl albums outpaced those of CDs, vindicating all the people who've spent decades of their lives talking about how vinyl just sounds better. Now, there's some of our listeners out there going, what's a CD? I still listen to CDs, I've got to say. I've got my place down the coast has just got big stacks of CDs. Because you need an album experience. I don't care what you say. You can have your playlists. You can have your stupid whatever it is, You need to listen to an album. You need to listen to album tracks.
Couldn't agree more.
Crafted like that, that's the way they should be listened to. Our question today, do you remember the first album you ever bought? I do. I remember the first album I ever shoplifted from Brushes. But I can go back even further than that. I'll give you the first single I ever bought. And 133353, we want to know your first album you ever bought. This will be fascinating from our listeners. But when I lived in Canberra, I went to a trash and treasure market and they just had a big table and on it was a big pile of singles. And Mum let me buy one for about 3 cents. I took it home. I put it on. It was The Doors, Riders of the Storm. I love that song so much. I used to play it nonstop all day. My mum used to hide it in different parts of the house, above the fridge, in a top cupboard, and I would find it and play it again. And I loved it so much. First album, Living in the 70s, again, was in Canberra and went walked past. That's it. This is the album that made Michael Gudinski's Mushroom Records dynasty, the big powerhouse album. He had hits before that, but it was really Living in the 70s that took him to the next level. MG, I'm going to ask you, what was the album?
Growing up, I had my mum and dad loved the music. Elvis, Beach Boys, Jan and Dean, the Righteous Brothers. But when I had enough money to buy my own LP, I went for NXS when I was about 16, The Swing. It's The Swing. The Swing. Love it.
Very early Doors. I remember seeing them live for the first time when I was 17. Yes. Yep. Fake ID into the Pier Hotel Frankston. It was all over. Cat?
Given that it was the 90s before I could afford my.
And let's
first
remember,
album.
You're a DJ, and for a top radio station, so this will be good.
Yep.
My first album was 100% Hits Volume 1, which happened to feature this wonderful song.
Oh, gosh.
The first compilation album I ever bought was like Ripper. 1976, which was written on a girl's bottom.
Yes.
She had Daisy Duke shorts on, ripped out off one of her buttocks, and they wrote the track lists on her bottom. All right, Natasha Billings' jaw has dropped yet again.
Here we go.
This will be good. How nerdy can this get? First ever album, Natasha Belling.
Can we have a guess before you go? I think it would be The Carpenters or something like that.
Human Nature.
Have you guys finished?
Human Nature.
Is it Human Nature?
Are you kidding
the best
me?
Of Oingo, young talent time.
Oh, I did love Danny Minogue.
Oingo Boingo. Thompson Twins.
Chocolate Thompson. Starfish.
It was Faith by George Michael.
Oh, my God. You thought he was hot and you didn't know he was gay, did you?
No. I thought he was super hot and I just finished school.
And you're half a chance?
He didn't return my phone calls.
All right, MG, what do you want to get off your chest? You've been banging on about this story all morning. Natasha Belling joins us too. What's piqued your interest about this particular story and why does it resonate so much with you?
Okay, it's an American sex therapist who reveals her and her husband have a strict rule for keeping their spark alive, and it did resonate for me because I've got one. But let's first listen to our friend who's over in the States giving us some advice.
So the intent behind our nightly makeout sessions is to actually break the connection between making out and sex. We wanted to give ourselves lots of experiences where we were making out and it wasn't leading to sex. So our rule is that we have to make out every single night and there has to be some tongue contact. So if we're really exhausted, it can be very fast. It doesn't need to take much time or much energy. Most nights, though, we prefer to stretch the makeout session out to just be like a minute or two.
Yeah.
Well, so hold the front page. She pashes her husband. Is that the story?
Well, the husband I think the husband's smarter than we think because he knows that one thing leads to another. And he knows if she just wants to pash him, that all of a sudden, an hour later, they're walking out of their bedroom with their clothes off. And keeping the dream alive, keeping the romance.
How do you do it?
Well, we've got five kids, so it's very hard to, you know, get jiggy with it, you know, with kids are in the house. So we, once a month, we book a hotel.
Hang on a second. What? Whereabouts? I want a room number.
I want could be the Mercure at Panthers. It could be the Formula One at Eastern Creek. It could be anywhere.
Right, and you don't tell the kids?
That's part of the surprise because then.
So your partner will say, meet me at the Penrith Hotel Motel at 6 o'clock tonight.
Well, it's usually through the day because we've got kids' sport through the afternoon. So. it's usually a midday rendezvous.
Afternoon tonight.
How long are you booking it for? Like an hour? Like 2 hours? Well, is this one of those where you bring your own linen? What are you doing?
You can only book it for the night, so you've got to pay top rate for. But you know what? It does. It keeps the dream alive. It keeps the passions flowing. It keeps everything, you know. I believe that as we get older, and I've been married for nearly 30 years, I've been with my wife for nearly 35, 36 years. So you just got to find ways, you know. Like even this morning we're talking about this, and Tash was saying how her and Glenn, her husband, have baths together once a week. That's I think that's a great idea.
No, clear.
No, excuse me. Hold the front page. Natasha Belling, what happens? So once a month you have a bath with your husband?
No, that is not true. That's completely made up. I don't think this sex therapist is actually talking to her husband, because I can tell you right now, the husband's going to want more than afternoon delight, a little kiss.
How do you know?
Because I live in a house full of three blokes. I know how their minds work.
But let's get back to the bath. So what are you doing? So you sit at either ends of the bath? Have you got bubble bath? Just like your knee poke up above the bubble line? Like, what's happening?
You know one of those bath bombs?
Yep.
Oh, fizzer.
Throw the bath bomb in.
Yeah, lovely.
Okay.
Bit of Barry White.
Like a
vape.
How long are you in the bath for?
2 seconds.
That's not what I heard. I heard every time you get out, you've wrinkled up. You've been in there so long in such a torrid session.
Sex making.
Mick Malloy, what's your experience?
Well, it's just like we head to cult headquarters and the rest, I can't tell you. It's just... Hey, kids in the car.
Oh, kids in the car. Get out of it.
Our next guest is one of the best in the business, one of my favourite comedians, and going bonkers all around the world right now in the middle of a live tour. And I've got to say, his latest Netflix special, High and Dry, is pound for pound as funny as I've seen. Make him welcome. It's Jim Jefferies.
Yeah. Jimbo. Thank you. I'm meant to be on tour in the UK right now, but I've come back to do a show at Luna Park. So I just flew. I've literally flown in for 24 hours. My next gig's in Sheffield, man. So and my last gig was in Newcastle, England. So I don't know why I'm here, but it's good to be here.
You've got a manager who's drunk. Whoever's putting this together is pulling the piss, mate.
I woke up very early. I've been watching Australian TV. I've learned all the news that's gone on. 11 days for concussion. Mark, that means you would have played about two games a season, right?
Do you reckon Mark should leave his brain to science?
Or just a bloke who needs a doorstop. Doesn't have to always be to science, you know, just anyway. No, you could leave it to science. Have you thought about doing that, Mark?
Well, Jimmy, I don't know, Jimmy. When you're gone, you're gone, aren't you? So what's the point of if it's going to help somebody else down the track? And this has been sincere. I reckon I had 15 concussions in 15 years of first grade and probably one a year, I would average. But towards the end of my career is when I noticed it most, because I remember the last one I got, I was playing against the Sharks and I went to tackle a bloke called Nathan Long, who, not a big bloke, back rower.
Great porn star.
Yeah, it had the long blonde hair. Yes, he's a porn star. Yeah. And my head just glanced his hip, and didn't feel like anything. But I was concussed for about 3 days.
Oh, wow.
And I looked at the game. I looked at it back on video, and I thought, nah, that's, you know, I've got to think about really sincerely giving this game away. And the next week was my last game against the Raiders, and in a semi-final. So yeah, it's fair dinkum. As you know, being in the States with the gridiron, it's the same, isn't it?
What do you think about the 11 days, though? Because why not make it 14 days? 11 days sounds like nothing. Because, like, if you did it 7 days, they couldn't play next week, right? True. 11 days, because sometimes you play twice in 12 days, right? You might play a Sunday night game and then a Friday night game, and you know what I mean? So it's just, what difference does 7 to 11 make?
I don't know, Jimmy, and I think you make a great point. I think what will happen is when we see concussions like Kalen Ponga last weekend against the Tigers, I think we're going to see a month will be, you know, the protocols. You just sit out for four games.
But also, could you see people abusing this rule? Like, yeah, they want to go for away for a couple of weeks with their girlfriend. Oh, my pupils aren't dilating the right way. Could it be the ecstasy? Nah, it's probably the concussion, I reckon.
Hang on. You do this every spring carnival. You need 11 days off. Hold on. Have you been concussed yourself, Jim? Is this common stand-up circles?
I've been concussed a couple of times. I was punched on stage famously at the Manchester Comedy Store. And there was another time where I was at the Nottingham Johnlers in Nottingham, England, and I'd finished my gig, and a guy came up behind and smashed my head into a table, and I was out cold. And I had a fracture in my skull there. And I woke up going onto the ambulance with a whole lot of bachelorette party, all with bunny ears on them, just staring over it, going, that guy was an arsehole, he was an arsehole. All right. And I thought, this is heaven, is it? A whole lot of British slappers with bunny ears. So I got concussed, and I got to give it up to the British medical, like the NHS was, because Jim Jeffries is my real name. My real surname's Nugent. I use my middle name, stage, you know, showbiz, right? And the NHS never checked my ID, had me in hospital for 2 weeks because I had a fractured skull. And then when I left, I just walked out with a bandage around my head like I was Basil Fawlty. And no one said nothing.
Mate, I had to go to hospital recently for say vasectomy. I say penis reduction.
And I just had a vasectomy. You had one as well?
Yeah, I did. I wish we should get together and have a vasectomy party, like a gender reveal.
How many is it in Australia? Because in Australia, in America, you have to ejaculate 30 times after the vasectomy to make sure your pipes are clean. As I was leaving, the doctor actually said to me, he goes, and the record's 17 days. He just said that to me. And I like a challenge, but it was slightly scabbed up the first 7 days. So you really only get 10 days to do that. Yeah. And then, you know, the people...
No. Well, here it's 20. So he goes to me, he goes, oh, you got a bit of homework. Well, what's that? He goes, you got to get 20 off before you're good to go. And so my girlfriend goes to me, so on Friday, she goes, how we got? He goes, oh, 8. Then she comes back on Monday and goes, okay, we better get on to number 9. I said, I think you'll find it's number 12.
Well, once you put it in the cup, right, you got 6 hours to get it to the doctors, and I was leaving for this tour, and I had to get it done, and my poor assistant, Jack, I had to call him over. I knocked one out in the room, gave him a cup of semen, and sent him on his way. That's the last job I gave my assistant before I went on tour, because I didn't have time to do it myself. But that's what you're paying for.
Now weaving baskets in the country. He can't be found.
I want to talk quickly about, I've been watching the morning, you know, Good Morning Australia or whatever the shows are, the Today
Sunrise
Show.
Sunrise or Today.
All the different ones, right? So the new Calvin Klein ad has just come out, right?
Yes.
And it's got the guy who played Kick-Ass, he played John Lennon in a movie or whatever, and he's completely ripped, and it's just him dancing around in his underwear. Look, all the female hosts of morning TV in Australia should be ashamed of themselves. They're all like this. Play it again. Play it again. Oh, look at his abs like that. Now, I'm all for it, right? But imagine if Margot Robbie did an underwear commercial and Koshy was there going, one more time. Look at her abs. Play it again.
Pitching a tent in his suit pants, he would be in a world of trouble. That's not a bad ad. I haven't seen it yet, but Kat, have you seen it?
I have seen it, and I have played it again in my own personal reflection.
Even right now, what Kat's doing, we can get away with. We're just there going, I should point out over and over.
Hey, Kat, Jimmy, what did you make of
three off watching that ad?
What did you make of the Oscars? Did you enjoy the Oscars?
I like the Oscars. I like that short round one. You know, that was a very sweet moment. And I always thought with Short Round, like, okay, So he was in one Indiana Jones movie, and then he wasn't in the third movie. By the next, it was 5 years later, the next movie, he would have been like 12. It's like Indiana Jones found him and then just flicked him. He found him on one of his many adventures in Thailand. And, you know, it's like imagine Indiana Jones trying to introduce Short Round to a woman. They're like, who's this? Oh, that's Short Round. Is that your adopted child? No, he just works for me. What do you mean? Like you have an eight-year-old who works for you? How does he work for you? Well, you see, sometimes he drives the getaway vehicle. His legs are too short, so I tied boxes to his feet. Where's his parents? Huh? Never thought to ask.
You've lost your mind.
I hope in the new Indiana Jones movie he just shows up, just like,
remember me?
Yeah, where have you been?
I thought you loved me. Hey. Now, what are you going to do at Luna Park?
I'm doing a show called the Humankind Festival. Look, man, I was in Britain and they're flying me in. I'm going to do the show and there's some other things. There's Wilm Hof is there, the guy who does the ice baths.
Wilm Hof, yeah.
Yeah. So, we have a lot of crossover in our fan base, me and Wilm Hof. I've never even heard of Wilm Hof. That's what they've said to me. They go, you're going to get up and a bloke before you is going to be doing ice baths with the audience. So I thought...
What's your pre-show? Because you're one of the great stand-ups, one of the great stand-ups in the world. And I've been doing a little bit, I've been putting my toe in the water with a few mates and doing some shows. And our pre-show warm-up is we sing, all get together and sing Tenderfield Sadler.
Oh, I love Tenderfield Sadler.
I know, and it gets us in the mood and we all get emotional and we get, you know, we hug each other and then we run out. What do you do? What's your pre-show backstage? Show us what you do.
I'd like to sing Tenderfield Sadler, but many, I don't know what I do before. I've seen like Kevin Hart, he gets all of his support acts together and they all put their hands in the middle and they go, everyone wants to be famous, but nobody wants to do the work. Everyone wants to be famous, but nobody wants to do the work. And he does this with like unfamous people. Like if they were all famous, there's some theory in this. So he's all calling them bludgers, basically.
He's calling them lazy.
Yeah, he's calling them lazy bastards as he does the thing. And then they all go, all right, Kevin, you got there. But I did a documentary many years ago. And you know when you do like a talking head documentary and they ask you a question and then they cut with everyone answering that question. And they said, and it was an American documentary, so pretentious people, you know. And so they said, when do you know when to get off stage? And every comic had an answer that went like this. There is a moment when you say a joke and you could just hear the laughter ping off the back of the wall and it comes back to you. And you go, that's the laugh I've been looking for all night. Right? And I said, it's when I need to wee. That is how, like, well, I used to drink so much on stage. That's how I knew the show was up. I need to piss everyone. Good night.
Well, when I was starting out and doing tours around regional Australia, I knew when the time to leave was when the can started raining down on stage at Bathurst or Armidale. We were doing a show in Bathurst. I pulled up one day and I said to my manager, keep the engine running.
Yeah, it makes you tough, regional Australia, man. One of my first gigs was the gold mining towns of Western Australia.
Oh, right. Okay.
You know, Kalgoorlie. Like you've been to these bars, Kalgoorlie, where there's a skimpy working behind the bar. Americans don't know about skimpies, but if you're listening in your car and you don't know what a skimpy is, it's a topless woman who's, it's not a strip club.
No.
It's just a topless woman who's pouring pints. Right? And you might go, why do we need that? I'll tell you why you need that. Because without her, it's a gay bar. Right? It's a whole lot of blokes dressed like cowboys. But the fact that there's a pair of tits in the corner is all above
makes
level.
It okay. Yeah.
I remember I had sex with a girl in Kalgoorlie, and I remember like the next day, I was about 20 years old. And I remember the next day that a couple of blokes who were picking us up going, oh, we hear you had sex with Erin. And I'm like, yeah. But it turned out like Erin was the girl of the town. Like their disappointment had flooded. I've been working on her for years.
You come in here, you city boys.
You take out Erin. Erin's now the mayor of Kalgoorlie.
Mate, it's a pleasure to catch up with you as always. How are your bears going? How are your bears going? Are you got a campaign up? Are you doing it?
Here we go. Cats out of the bag, right?
Come on.
I keep on saying to you that we can't. Look, it's two places for me. It's Perth or it's the Pacific Islands.
Yep.
Right?
Wow.
The Pacific Island Bears, all we want is to keep the badge, keep the colours, and two games in North Sydney. And I don't care which way we go. I'm leaning towards the Pacific Island because I think the youth program there would be so good that we'd be unstoppable. But because there's not a lot of youth players over in Western Australia, but we can change that as well. Now, now, Mark, you played in Perth, and that was what, 25 years ago?
95, yeah.
Yeah,
95 to 97.
Okay, so then it was in its infancy, like watching rugby league over there. But since then, the population of Perth's doubled, and it's got a huge amount of British people there, and a lot of expats from like the East Coast. I think Perth is primed to have a rugby league team.
They're talking.
Will you be an owner?
I would like to be an owner. I look. I would own like 5%. I'm not. Look, I don't have enough money.
You're not Russell Crowe.
Yeah, I don't have the whole team. But I have enough that I just want to sit. I'm good friends with Russell Crowe. I just want to sit in a box with a glass divide between me and Russell, and occasionally just niggle at him. That's all I'm in it for.
And it'll be the only club in the competition where the owner's on an 11-day concussion protocol. Mate, we're so happy you're dropping by, and I believe we're going to be talking to you on a regular basis, which we love because
we love you, Jimmy.
We adore you here. You're amazing, and it'll be great to have you on board. Thanks for swinging by. Is there any? I want to mention your Netflix special again. I know it's your fifth one. They're all outstanding. If you like this one, go back and look at the others. But congratulations. That High and Dry is an absolute bona fide.
Thank you.
And I want to mention the podcast too. I don't know about that with Jim Jefferies. Give it a run. Good on you, mate.
Thanks,
you,
Jimmy. Appreciate
it. Go the Bears.
Kick back and relax and enjoy the week that was.
Let's start with when Mick gave us a real sense of how crazy and intense it is to be Rob Hurst on the drums for Midnight Oil.
Paul Hester was a friend of mine, so I said, what are you doing this weekend? And he goes, you're not going to believe it, I'm filling in for Hursty at Midnight Oil.
Oh,
mate, I said, look at you. You are a tiny, unfit man. I said, this isn't Crowded House. This isn't like brushes on the cymbals, mate. This is going flat chat for 2 hours. I said, you'll be cooked. Anyway, I saw him on the Monday. I said, how were you? He goes, mate, we were 3 songs in. My lungs were coming out my ears. I was breathing that hard.
NMG got himself banned from the Lord Nelson on air.
How much is your 3 sheets?
She's around. We don't sell schooners, by the way. We only sell pints and half pints.
Are you sure you're at a pub?
That's the way life is.
And do we bring our own shoe for our shoey?
Definitely. We won't pour any beer into a shoe, and if you wish to do so, you'll certainly be drinking outside.
Oi! Is that a threat?
Mate, he's just barred you. He's banned under 35s and he's just barred you. Can anyone get into this pub at all?
In the discussion of your first albums that you bought led to a tale of mixed language legacy.
First album, mate?
An absolute Australian classic, The Brown Album by Martin Malloy.
Okay. First comedy album from Martin Malloy. I ran into a guy once. He said, look, you don't know me, but I just want to let you know, I taught English to children in the Solomon Islands. There's a one island in particular where the only bit of spoken word English I had was the Brown Album, and I used it as a teaching tool. And if you ever want to go on a good holiday, if you go to this island of the Solomon Islands, every child between the age of 8 and 14 can recite that album word for word.
And your freak accident stories certainly had us clutching our pearls.
So Christmas 2021, thought we'd set up a slip and slide for the kids.
You know
where I'm going with this. Did the big dive on impact, heard the crack, felt the crack, 3 broken ribs, flying for the glory after Christmas lunch.
After Christmas lunch. And then, of course, the whole day's over and the kids can't use it.
I was about 8 or 9. There was a bloke called Evil Knievel. If Evil Knievel can ride his motorbike over the Grand Canyon, I can ride my scooter off the back porch, which was about 1.5 metres drop. Needless to say, where I landed, in between my legs, the Jaffs crackers weren't too healthy for the next 4 days.
Yeah, simple job of putting some towels away in the cupboard, and I have some acrylic nails. As I put the towels in, my index finger hit the top of the cupboard shelf on there, and it completely ripped my nail from the root. Not not a good sight.
After the Oscars, MG took us back to his shocking red carpet experience.
I cannot believe what I was hearing. We were getting stuck into Hugh Grant, you guys were, about his attitude on the red carpet. And then you told us, what was the occasion? It was a charity boxing game.
It was for youth suicide. About to walk out into the boxing ring and all of a sudden...
Well, we're very excited to see you out there. I don't know if the Aussies are going to win, but a lot of women have been wanting to know, do you have a big knob?
Big enough.
That's my guy, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go.
And then you go into the ring.
Oh, no.
What was that girl?
No wonder I got the shit punched out of me in the first round. I'm still reeling.
And Sydney scored a big milestone win.
Sydney, according to new data in the ACCC wastewater report, has showed Sydney is the cocaine and heroin capital of Australia. Well done, Sydney.
The winner is Sydney.
Yes, we knew you could do it. This hasn't happened just because I've moved here, by the way. Point out.
We asked you about pocket money, but one caller really decided to go on a different path and totally dobbed MG in.
Up at Star of the Sea, where I actually met MG, and they're up in the penthouse up there. I must admit, when I first saw MG, thought he was organising lunch for his family. He ate three hamburgers and like two plates of chips. So,
Jesus. Oh, we've got a whistleblower here.
Yeah, Dougie, the guy's
going to talk about his brother. Daughter and he's turned on MG.
Dougie, I thought this was a bit... Come on, mate.
Hey, Dougie, what happens on Star of the Sea stays on Star of the Sea, mate.
And as the temperature rose, the gear came off.
Crikey, you'll be in the pool a little later, MG.
I'll be heading west after the show and I'll be getting straight into my flamingo speedos.
What's your poolside leisure wear? What is the pink flamingo speedos?
Sorry, what?
Can you take a snap of that and send it to me?
Well, I was a bit jealous seeing you in Thailand recently and with your beautiful speedos, and I don't think I can compare to that. I might have to Photoshop something in there.
I would have been barred if that was bad behaviour in Bali. They would have said, hey, put some pants on, Malloy. You're driving the locals wild with your massive lunchbox. You saw that photo. I wouldn't have got that on as hand luggage. Now,
to finish the week, Glenn Robbins joined us as we learned a few things that probably should have been kept a secret.
I did something to you backstage that you told the world about, which really upset me.
I think we were up in Darwin.
I can't believe it.
We're in a dressing room before the show, and it was so hot we had the rotary fans. And I'm sitting there in front of my fan. Glenn comes in, gets behind the fan, drops his pants, and farts into the fan, which then goes brrrr, and turbocharges the fart into the room.
I'm a fun guy, okay? Go on tour with me. You gave up that secret, and I'm not going to give up the secret about you wearing a nappy to a party. I'm not even going to bring that up.
Now, that was a social experiment. As a young boy, I did wear one of those incontinence pads to see how long I could go, and catastrophic consequences.
And that is another week that was on Mick and MG in the Morning on Triple M Sydney.
Mick Malloy, MG in the Morning.